This is Chris Dufault. I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Crookston, Minnesota. I'm pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Good morning, Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Don Wick with Randy Kuhn, and we'll have a report from Sierra Doctor as well. After near-record highs Sunday, we can expect a lot of wind and cooler temperatures today. The temps are going to fall throughout the day. West to northwest winds will gust 30 to 45 miles per hour. As we speak, there is snow in western North Dakota. There's also a line of rain from Mobridge, South Dakota to the Canadian border. Spotty rains are also being seen in northeast North Dakota and northwest Minnesota.
After a very dry fall, the rain will help recharge soil moisture going into freeze-up. Rain totals include at Tioga, North Dakota, inch and six-tenths, Minot reporting 65 hundredths, Langdon 54 hundredths, Dickinson 53 hundredths, Fargo and Rugby both at 21 hundredths, and Roseau, Minnesota, 11 hundredths.
Argentina received welcome rains over the weekend from La Pampa through Buenos Aires to Uruguay. Additional rain is needed, and there are two more weather systems that are forecast this week. In Brazil, there were rains in the central Mato Grosso area. At the same time, conditions dried out in the central and southern portions of Brazil.
Wall Street trends are spilling over into the agriculture commodities. Martinson Ag Risk Management President Randy Martinson is also focused on the next Federal Reserve meeting in early November.
Right now, with the way things are looking, everybody's betting on a three-quarter point increase in November. We're hoping for a little less of one once we get into the mid-December one. But right now, you know, it doesn't look like this inflation or the unemployment situation is changing very rapidly.
Shipping delays on the lower Mississippi River are also a concern.
What we're seeing is an improvement in our basis up here as we're seeing a little bit more demand on the soybean side. So elevators have been a little more aggressive trying to buy beans to get them into place so that they could load the train. So we are seeing, you know, an improvement for us. Now, again, I'm still worried that we could be seeing a railroad strike take place because we're still hearing some, you know, bad vibes coming from those discussions.
Martinson was featured in the latest Ag Week market wrap.
To prevent grounding due to low water levels, the river shipping industry has reduced the maximum barge draft. Both northbound and southbound barges on the Mississippi River have the maximum barge draft reduced down to 9 feet. That's down 6 inches from late September. For every 6 inches of a draft reduction, the barge has 110 less tons of capacity. That would equate to 3,600 bushels of soybeans or 3,900 bushels of corn.
Seven ships filled with grain left Ukrainian ports over the weekend. A Ukrainian infrastructure ministry official said the ports are only running at 25% to 30% of capacity. The blame placed on Russia for blocking full implementation of the Black Sea grain deal. That agreement expires November 19th, and an extension is not locked in.
The Chinese Communist Party elected Xi Jinping to an unprecedented third term over the weekend. The party also named the seven-member standing committee, and an advocate for free markets and private enterprise was dropped from that inner circle. During the weekend, Xi said the goal is to restore China's role as a political, economic, and cultural leader. That includes more control over China's food supply.
With the election just weeks away, speculation is beginning on the makeup of the agriculture committees. National Cattlemen's Beef Association Vice President Ethan Lane.
We're expecting to still have extremely narrow margins regardless, right? And that being the case, you end up having pretty balanced committees as far as R's and D's. Going into a farm bill, you're going to see the Democrats sort of retool. We've already seen that a little bit with members of the Ag Committee, who they're putting into those positions. Typically, they'll start to load in members from more urban districts that are focused more on food assistance programs, SNAP, things like that. That's going to be their priority going into that farm bill process.
Leadership will likely change in the House.
Even when you have a narrow margin, it really comes down to the agenda. You know, what really is allowed to move forward? G.T. Thompson, as the new incoming presumptive chair of the House Agriculture Committee, should Republicans take control of the House, is a strong advocate for the cattle industry, strong advocate for agriculture. You know, that alone is a massive game changer, just empowering him in that position.
For more information from the Red River Farm Network, visit Facebook and Twitter. You can also find stories, podcasts, and more at rrfn.com. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. Thanksgiving just about a month away. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Sierra Doctor reports on the availability of the staple dish turkey.
The avian influenza outbreak this year that rivaled 2015's reported over 47 million birds affected in 43 states. Minnesota Turkey Growers Association Executive Director Ashley Cole says rumors of a turkey shortage has been deceptive.
So there is a current narrative going around that there may be a shortage of turkeys available for Thanksgiving, and I guess a conversation I'm glad that we're going to have is the fact that there will not be a turkey shortage for Thanksgiving this year. There are plenty of turkeys available, and shoppers, just like any other year around Thanksgiving, can expect to find good holiday deals on turkeys at the grocery store. If there are folks who are concerned about getting a specific type and size of turkey, we're just suggesting that they call their grocery store now and order that specific turkey that they're looking for.
Cole says prices of turkeys have gone up, but it's in line with product inflation.
So the other thing that I think is pretty important for us to make note is that, you know, when people talk about not just the concern of availability for turkeys, we're also hearing a lot of folks about the worrisome price of turkey this year. And we want to acknowledge that, you know, inflation and rising cost of feed and other inputs, which include avian influenza, have affected the price of turkeys. It's not the only grocery item that folks are going to see the impact of an increase in cost this year. And so really there's a number of factors, and it's not strictly just high-path avian influenza that are impacting turkey prices this year.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, I'm Sierra Doctor on the Red River Farm Network.
Total inventory of cattle and calves nationwide declined 1% from a year ago. September marketings were up 4%. Placements were down 4%. The cattle numbers in South Dakota declined 6% in the past year. Minnesota was down 6%.
We're seeing some snow in the western Dakotas this morning coming out of Montana, but most of the region has been spared snow this morning. World Weather Incorporated senior ag meteorologist Drew Lerner says the white stuff is still a ways out in the forecast.
Well, I think we'll have another chance for a little bit of light snowfall, kind of a rain and snow mix again at the end of next week, but it doesn't look like it is going to be a real substantial snow maker for us quite yet. But it has potential to change, so we'll have to kind of keep an eye on it. So the absolute earliest would be a week from now. And I think probably going to have to wait a little bit longer than that. Maybe sometime in early November would probably be the next better time period for getting a decent snow event to take place.
USDA's Animal Plant Health Inspection Service is reporting the potato wart crisis on Canada's Prince Edward Island is likely larger than currently reported. Without changes, APHIS said potato wart will likely be introduced into U.S. potato production through seed potatoes imported from the Prince Edward Island.
Chris Fowland farms near Hallman, Minnesota, and says the countryside has been full of farmers busy with the soybean harvest. There's still corn and sunflowers to go.
There is a pile of corn and a pile of sunflowers. So on our farm, we have a lot of corn. This year, we just planted corn and soybeans, kind of unique, just the way the markets and the ground and the conditions and everything was looking. So we'll start our corn after we finish soybeans. But there is growers that have started on corn, generally pretty happy with it. But there's some fields that are drier. You know, I've heard down to 19 moisture and even a little less. But then there's another field growers have started on, and they're just way too wet. I mean, almost too wet where you don't even want to start running them through the combine, let alone dry it. So I think they're just going to give it a couple weeks here and let those plants dry down. Because even visually, the plants have dried a lot the last couple weeks, like I said, after we got that killing frost.
Sunflower harvest is still a few days away.
And then sunflowers, I haven't really seen much sunflower harvest progress yet. But a lot of them have been desiccated. They're all dried down now. So the sunflower is going to ramp up once everybody finishes up on their soybeans here.
An investigation is underway regarding a weekend fire at the Wilbur Ellis fertilizer plant near Moses Lake, Washington. Firefighters reported the entire plant was engulfed in flames.
Bayer has closed on a previously announced deal with Ginkgo Bioworks to develop biological products for agriculture. This is a multi-year strategic partnership which will focus on crop protection, nitrogen fixation, and carbon sequestration through biologicals. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Good morning. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Well, soybean planting's off to a good start in Brazil. Soybean and Corn Advisor President Michael Cordonier said Brazil had a good week. However, dry weather in Argentina has delayed the start of their planting.
Argentina continues to have problems. They had a few showers this week. Most were too light to ease any long-term dryness. Better rains are expected maybe next week across central Argentina. And the corn in Argentina, 17% planted, averages 31. That's up only 1% for the week. And the Buenos Aires Grain Exchange just yesterday cut their corn acreage, another 200,000 hectares, and indicated that some of this early corn might be planted late or get switched over to soybeans.
The weekend was filled with wildfires, high winds, hot temps, and severe weather hitting farms across Kansas, Nebraska, Iowa, and South Dakota. Wind advisories are posted in portions of the Dakotas today. There's snow in the western Dakotas, rain falling around the Texas Panhandle. With colder temperatures pushing in from the northwestern plains, heavy rains are expected from eastern Texas to Illinois over the next 5 days, offering some help. That rain won't provide much help for water levels, though, on the Mississippi River, levels which are expected to fall even lower in the weeks ahead.
Poor Chinese demand and a tight global economy has impacted ocean freight rates. The rate from the Pacific Northwest to Japan was $37 per metric ton for the latest reporting week. That's 5% below the beginning of the year and down 21% from the same time last year.
As we check in on the markets for this morning, we are in the downside for the most part, down 3 cents for Minneapolis wheat. The contract price, 958 and a half. Chicago wheat for December, down 4 3/4. KC wheat, same contract, down 1 3/4. The corn market, the Dease contract down 3 1/2, 680 3/4. March down 3 3/4. November soybeans down 13 cents, 1382 and a half. And March soybeans at $14.25, that's down by 11 1/2 cents. As we check in on the farm calendar, the Minnesota Ag and Food Summit, hosted by AgriGrowth, is coming up. That'll be Thursday, November 10th in Minneapolis. That's the date for that conference. Soil Management Summit is coming up December 15th through the 16th. That will be held in St. Cloud, Minnesota. They'll be taking a look at what's going on with some of the soil productivity issues, hearing from longtime no-till, reduced tillage, and cover crop farmers as they share their experiences. Again, that's the 2022 Soil Management Summit, December 15th and 16th in St. Cloud. And the North Dakota Angus Association has its annual meeting and banquet. The annual meeting for the juniors, November 11th. Their general membership meeting, November 12th. Again, that's coming up in Bismarck. Have a great day. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.